This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales reporting on cricket. He's been teaching me cricket this last 18 months. I've now been through two Ashes series, one in Australia, won easily by the Australian team, with lots of complaining by the England team that there wasn't proper amount of time to drink in between tests. And now, in England, a tie, and both sides punished by... Who knew there was an international cricket league that would enforce bans on teams for playing slow? Who knew this? Baseball, slow? You went slow. Change pitchers three times in the seventh inning. That's slow. But there turns out to be more to the Ashes series than what was just concluded with a lot of bad feeling. There's silver Ashes. Jeremy, what is silver Ashes?
Yes, John, this is a fantastic Ashes series for over 70-year-olds. And as the name describes, it's for the silver-haired Ashes players and cricketers out there. And what it is it's actually a formally recognised event too. There's actually a Veterans League of Cricket in Australia and Veterans League of Cricket in England that basically brings players from around the country together, and they can actually form their own local, state and international cricket teams. And in this case, what happens every time there's the proper Ashes, they actually run the silver Ashes. Now, being over 70 as well, and the guys, I guess you could say, are a little bit older and maybe not, don't have as much stamina. They only play with three games. So as opposed to say that the true Ashes where you're playing five-day events, the silver Ashes only plays over 3 days. But in those 3 days, potentially those guys are playing 90 overs a day, so 90 times six balls a day, and they actually play at quite a ferocious speed too. So you can't imagine, John, that these guys are just going out there and having a day in the sun. They actually play really, really good cricket, which is why over the last few Ashes seasons, they're actually getting more and more popular. But the unfortunate thing here, John, is that the Ashes series this year was a convincing defeat for Australia. So the English Ashes team, the Silver Ashes team, actually won by over 91 runs, and they gave Australia a good run for their money. But you know what? Compared to the real Ashes, there wasn't the controversy. So you can tell it really is a much more gentleman's game, I guess you can say, than the true Ashes were this season.
In baseball, they play what is called an old-timers game, two or three times a year. I don't remember how many. Usually it's a big giveaway to the old-timers game. People come early to see their favorite veterans from 5, 10, 20 years ago. Do these Silver Ashes players, are they former cricket players with the Australia or England team, or are they from somewhere else?
No, this is the beauty part, John. They're not actually ex-professional players, most of them. They're actually from the county leagues, the local state, and sometimes the international social leagues, but none of them really play professional cricket. And I say really because from time to time you might get an old professional player in the mix, but it's actually made to be open to anybody over 70 who can just meet the standards that they require to play cricket. So what they've actually found is that in sometimes these silver Ashes, there are players there that may not have started playing cricket until their 50s. So it's a very inclusive way to get people interested in cricket later in life. But at the same time, too, they do maintain relatively good standards, and they actually have very good coaches. So for those out of there later in life who may have not played cricket or had the chance when they were younger, they still have a competition where they can actually make a difference and actually get international coverage. So it's one of those leagues where, you know, we all watch it with fondness because it's actually just great fun to watch, but it's also got some semi-seriousness to it.
I've been following in the Telegraph and London Times the cricket stories, which have tapered off. In fact, they disappeared midweek. All of a sudden, after months of bitter remarks, trash-talking each other, they fell silent, or they were overwhelmed by a phenomenon, the Matildas. Jeremy, who are the Matildas?
Yes, the Matildas are our Australian football team, or soccer as we call it here in Australia, because we have so many football codes we have to distinguish between them. But they're actually our FIFA World Class Women's Championship team, currently doing very, very well in the FIFA World Cup. And the Matildas, they weren't expected to get very high up. They weren't really expected to beat anybody in soccer. And effectively what they did was they managed to beat England, they managed to beat the United States, they managed to beat a lot of top teams, which we weren't supposed to the point where we actually made the playoffs, so the championship playoffs. this was big news in Australia, and this knocked cricket right off the front page. But sadly, John, I do have to report that the Matildas didn't make it into the grand final. And also, too, we've only just got news this morning, too, that the Matildas didn't make it to the third place. They're actually going to be fourth place in the world for the FIFA World Championship because they lost to Sweden overnight. But the reality is, turns out our women's soccer team is much, much better than we all gave them credit for. So, and to put it in perspective here too, John, when they looked like they could potentially go to the grand final, there was actually discussions here in the Australian Parliament about whether or not if they won the FIFA World Championship, we would get a day off. We would get a public holiday. And it was seriously considered. So that's just how seriously we take our sport. And this is why cricket did not feature in many of our news cycles this week.
I have also seen, Jeremy, conversation about how the Matildas are paid or how professional women footballers are paid in Australia. I don't know whether this is true for tennis. I don't know whether it's true for golf. Is that a debate that's going on the sports pages about men and women getting different levels of payment?
That's actually the only real controversy that has come out of it. Exactly right. And it's not an old one. It is a problem that comes up almost every time an international sporting event has a male and a female team here in Australia. And the pay parity is just not there. The Matildas get paid very, very much less than the male athletes in the same sport get paid. There is argument, too, that it has links to sponsorship. So if Matildas had better sponsorship, they would get paid better, which unfortunately the male teams always typically have better sponsorship. But at the same time, too, there is a number of avenues and revenue streams that sport in Australia through the Australian Sports Institute can allow for their salaries to actually be increased. And that's where the controversy lies. It's why isn't the government assisting Australian sport by providing enough money to increase their salaries so that men and women get paid much closer. But this will continue. And I dare say the way that the Matildas have played and that the fact that this pay dispute has been highlighted again, there may be changes because each time it comes around, the Australian sporting bodies do find ways to up the pay and bring a bit more parity. But I think, unfortunately, at the end of the day, John, the sponsorship deals have a lot to do with it. The Matildas probably have a long way to go because soccer in Australia is big, it's huge, but mainly for the male teams. But you know what? It is looking promising. So at least this is hopefully a bit more of an advancement in that field.
And here comes springtime. Does that mean that the leagues, the cricket leagues, start again in Australia in September? Is that a normal year? This is like your baseball season always starts in April for us. Your cricket season starts in September?
Very much so. In fact, we're just starting to see the preseason practices and games begin right now. So where cricket really takes off is that end of September, October period. But there is a lot of winter cricket leagues out there, which are basically just leagues to keep everybody in skill set, in practice over the winter season. But yes, absolutely, John, we are starting to head towards the cricket season. And in fact, where I work, and it's certainly around the local community here, you see a lot of flyers up now asking for people to play on cricket teams. So this is truly the beginning of cricket season, and not just the amateur leagues, but the professional leagues. So we're about to get inundated with cricket once again here in Australia.
Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, blast of air from Antarctica. And El Nino, not confirmed yet, but it sure looks like it. This is the Friends Fister Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.